So, this is kind of strange. We're starting an episode, and it's kind of, at least for Looster, relaxing.
Oh, David, you're glowing. What happened last night?
Ooh. I got some post-clarity of sorts, I think.
Oh, my.
Ooh.
There's no time limit on us, you know, coming back to Morden when, you know, like, Rena's going to be safe and we have the sending stones to keep in communication. And, you know, things are looking pretty good. They're looking pretty good, I think. You know, things are pretty calm, pretty chill. Going back into the mists won't be fun. It'll be a heart-wrenching, heartfelt goodbye that Amelia can bottle up, and I'm pretty sure it'll be a really potent ingredient.
Definitely. It's definitely an ingredient. We haven't proved that it's not.
It's true. Yeah. It's true.
It's definitely in Lenara's notebook that it is not.
I mean, we've never made a restoration potion without one. Just throwing that out there.
Actually, can we get restoration potions from Amelia now?
Definitely. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
We have all of that.
Well, Furon might be able to still cast it.
I suppose.
He's a wizard. Oh, and wizards don't get access to Greater Resto?
Nope.
Divine.
Well, dang.
It'll be fine.
Yeah, we're past the madness stuff,
aren't
we?
Just don't get hurt.
For now.
Just don't get hurt.
Yeah.
No, we're going to have a side quest. We got to find some Spuma.
Please, we're on a side quest right now, Lustra.
Hey, I'm the main character right now, and I say we go grab some Spuma.
You know what? Greater Resto, classes, druid, cleric, bard.
Yeah.
Womp womp.
Womp womp. If only we had a bard in the party, eh?
Yeah. Thank God. Or, I mean, oh no.
Or divine soul sorcerer.
Yeah. So yeah, we're going to go out into the mists, I think, and I kind of want to see where that goes.
Yeah, and it's all going to be good. Everything's nice and relaxed.
Yeah.
We haven't closed the this chapter quite yet. There's still time for you to die. So.
Oh, hush.
You never know. Rena could be a praying mantis in disguise. Just like, you know.
Some kind of succubus and then just sucks my soul.
Oh, no. We just show up and like knock on the door and like, hey, Looster, ready to go? Just show up. No head.
No, she's secretly a drider of Lolf. Like,
yeah.
Drider, you hardly knew her.
I mean, aberrations aren't one of your favorite enemies.
No, they're not.
It's his favorite enemy, if you know what I mean.
Ooh. Hey, I was hugging those flat-winged horrors and stuff. I think they're aberrations.
You have a type.
Nice.
I just really want Justin to start scribbling furiously.
You want some more good news?
Yeah,
always.
Sure,
yeah. I've been thinking pretty strongly about switching over to like milestone XP, or maybe like if it makes everyone just feel better, I think we might start, you know, assigning giant chunks of XP to stuff like, you know, finding secret doors and secret compartments. And,
oh, hell yeah.
You know, things like just getting Rena to this point. Like that could be a giant chunk of XP. Negotiating successfully with a Dark Lord sounds like it deserves some XP.
Yeah, it could have gone horribly wrong, and it didn't, mostly.
The real question,
that's new for us.
Yeah, I was going to say, the real question is, do you get more XP for negotiating with a Dark Lord or just killing him? Like,
I believe that is all in Justin's noggin.
Yeah, that's true.
That's definitely killing him. Let's go back.
But no,
defeat does not necessarily mean murder. True, true.
Yeah, you have to bypass a trap. You don't have to dismantle the trap after you've gone past it to get the XP.
It's true. I mean, these aren't like, that's not a unique concept either. I'm pretty sure I'm just supposed to do that. I just don't.
Ooh, we're going to get so much retroactive XP? Oh.
No, but where are you going with this, Justin? I'm waiting to hear a couple of words from you based on what you're talking about with experience.
If we'd burned down that forest, we would be level 10 by now.
You know, another thing I'm pretty bad about doing is, adjusting the XP based on, like, the difficulty of a fight, you know, like, making you fight like a full-fledged vampire at level 5. Like, whatever. I forget how much a vampire is worth, but the fact that that's considered a deadly encounter means I should be adjusting it and giving you, like, way more.
I mean, I'm not going to say no to any of that. Just slurping up all that XP, maybe.
Yeah, I definitely probably should have adjusted XP along the way. I don't know. In my defense, like, being that it's a horror campaign, and, you know, I strongly believe that that means, like, keeping you in fear, right? Like, every fight should instill that feel that, uh-oh, one of us might die, at least for a round or two.
You know? Yup. I mean, we have had that for most of this campaign, too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like every slasher flick, everyone is just getting more and more and more and more exhausted, and then suddenly they're fine. But no, it's that vibe.
So am I hearing like we're going to be like level 9 now? Is that what I'm hearing?
Level 15. Just like skip all that shit.
Saying you should, even though we haven't been level 8 that long, you should certainly start thinking about that level 9. You should, should think about it.
Okay.
Keep it in the back of your mind, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you know, it's all right.
Might be closer than you think.
All right, let's kill Faran.
Well, this is the main character energy coming up, but you want to play some D&D?
Oh,
there you go, David.
Oh, Justin's tempting us. He's tempting us. He's like, oh, yeah, do more things. Do more dangerous things.
Oh, I love
it. You might level up soon.
Let's do this.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Good vibes, nice relaxing. Everyone's all fully rested. This is great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's roll for the bag man.
Who's got it right now? Still me?
I think you, yeah.
Right. Yeah, because we're not going to trust the new guy with the bag.
Let's try these shadowy dice.
Do it. Come on.
86.
Oh, man.
I thought it was 69 for a second.
86. Oh. One of these days. Oh. One of these days.
Man, I feel like the bag man got 86.
Nice.
Nice.
Nice. Take inspiration.
Hey.
God damn it.
I'm feeling good. Everything's just feeling great.
He's giving us too much stuff, man. What are we going to fight? Wait, what was the other thing that everyone like said that they hated like 100 episodes ago?
Rust monsters.
Oh, no. Oh, those aren't bad. Just like a level 20 rust monster shows up, eats the entire town. No, I think I just described a Tarrasque.
Let's play D&D.
Let's play some D&D. Mm-hmm.
Back in we go. Camera zooms right back on the main character.
Nathan Fillion. Gently munching some grass.
Emilia Wigglebrick.
Oh, there we go.
Trying to feed the spectral horse a carrot.
I wouldn't even be mad at that. Emilia Wigglebrick is adorable.
No, we'll zoom back in on Lustra and Rena. Who's Big Spoon? Who's Little Spoon? I'm curious.
No, Lustra's Big Spoon for sure.
Sure, yeah. She makes you boots, but you don't wear the pants.
Okay, like, really? Like,
yes. Yeah, you wear a tabard.
Am I wrong?
And that's about it.
Come on, don't wear a Palpatine.
All right.
Well, all of you are well rested, feeling refreshed. And what does the morning look like? What is everyone up to? I'm sure there's kind of like some mixed feelings in the house, in the shop, and feelings of like a bit of a victory. About to move on to the next chapter of the adventure. But at the same time, not everyone's coming along. It's not the happy ending you were really hoping for. How's everyone feeling? What are we doing? What's the morning look like?
Lustra would definitely be dragging his feet. He does not want to leave. He knows he has to, but it's, I don't know, it's kind of like when you're at like a theme park and you don't want to go. So it's like, you know, when the little kid's like, no, I want to go on the ride again. Right. So it's there's almost like a sulking kind of like, I don't want to go though. but realizing that, you know, these are the domains of dread. he's got a bigger purpose. He's, you know, he's committing to, you know, leaving. Just he's being very, very, he's lollygagging with it.
Yeah, Killian, I'm finally having had a good night's rest for once and not, you know, in a cart, you know, being led by or pulled by orcs. Definitely wakes up. He's a little bleary eyed, looking for a snooze button that doesn't exist. But when he wakes up, he sort of immediately opens his notebook and starts writing down his dream, of which he was talking to a bounty hunter. So that way his new proficiency can be survival for the day.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Mm. He got used to reading his dreams this way and having the people talking to him, but something that really helps, and this is true in real life as well, if you want to improve dream recall, you should write it down as soon as you wake up. And he does exactly that, recalling as much as he can before, you know, going over his typical routine of investigating his materials, making sure everything's in working order, you know, putting a whetstone to his daggers, you know, making sure that the handle on his magnifying glass is polished, that kind of thing.
Awesome. I think Tess, she sort of went to bed with everyone else, but that elf sleep, though. So she's, I feel like she, sometime in the, like after she finished trancing, just would have found a way up to the roof of this alchemy shop and is sort of just taking that time to be sort of like a little bit above the sprawling cityscape, and to watch the sunrise as, or whatever sunrise comes in the domains of dread, and sort of just gain some perspective, because for this entire time, it's felt like we are either incredibly insignificant or the most significant thing in these domains. And, having that like cognitive dissonance, she just feels like the need to really meditate and just take some time to not think about the next step. So she'll probably just be up doing, just standing, looking off into the distance, glancing over at the house on Griffin Hill, and, just wondering if they made the right choice.
It's tough to know, honestly. I like that. I like that a lot.
Also, every so often, glancing down at the green egg and being like, does he leave that out? What if it rains?
There's definitely a point where you see him outside scrubbing at it with a wire brush. You do notice, though, that, yeah, Ferran's lights are on pretty late into the evening. He's, like, packing up, getting ready to go as well. What's the morning look like for Troubadour?
Troubadour, not unlike Killian, probably had his best sleep in a while. It's also best sleep since he was in a cage. Sleeping in the Van Richten cart, probably the plushest thing around. He's going to get up and very like old retired police officer or soldier kind of thing. Like he's got his routine. It's very regimented. He'll like has his armor all set up. He'll put it all on. He'll make sure the horse is taken care of. He realizes there's a lot going on in the apothecary, so he's not gonna go and bother it. He's gonna, you know, there's a sort of slight look of forlorn whimsy to him as he thinks about what's going on, but there's things to do. So like housekeeping in a hotel, Lustra's got till like 10, 11 o'clock, and then once checkout hits, he's coming in and he's going to be loud and proud and be like, all right, we got shit to do now.
And then it's like, I know. Yeah. 5 more minutes. Yeah.
So effectively at like 11:01, mm-hmm. I don't care if you're still wearing the bathrobe. It's coming off, buddy.
And I feel like it's going to take that, too, because, like, Illusion's going to milk every moment he can with Rina.
There's still a little niceness to it. Like, he'll make sure, probably if Amelia was up, there, you know, he's he's bringing breakfast in bed and coffee. But if that door's not opening on its own, it's going to be turned into splinters. I will walk around the side of the house and come in the window. There is no stopping me.
Yeah, absolutely. 11:01. Go wake up Lucer and Rena. As far as Amelia and the Weathermay Foxgrove twins, Lori and Jennifer, you see they've got like bags under their eyes. Eyes are red. They've actually been up and about for quite some time. And they've prepared like a little care package for you. And as you know, you all start kind of coming downstairs and all gathering after getting dressed and all geared up for the day. They kind of meet you in the front of the shop. They meet you and they give you this little care package while saying, "We won't take an eye off of Rena, not even for a moment. She'll be as safe as possible here. We have friends in town we can call upon if needed." And they shove this care package in your hand. Basically, they've been up all night scouring through all the cupboards and bottling up everything they did have on hand. This is like an herbalism shop. So you get to leave with quite a few potions.
Ooh.
Fantastic.
All in all, they've managed to scrounge up 3 potions of healing, 1 potion of greater healing, 1 potion of heroism.
Oh.
And 2 potions of vitality.
Potion of vitality. What's that do exactly?
Restoration, I think.
Oh.
It removes any exhaustion you're suffering from, cures any disease or poison. For the next 24 hours after drinking it, you regain the maximum number of hit points for any hit die you spend. And that's it. That's what those do. So it's
that's
like
huge.
Right before a short rest, right before rolling some hit dice, you pop one of those into you.
Yeah, that's remarkable. Holy crap.
Let's put those on character sheets, except for maybe the vitality, just so there's no, where is it?
Is it in the bag of holding? We need to take an action to grab this when someone's bleeding out.
Exactly.
Sorry, too real.
Yup.
Fair.
Troubadour says all of you take one of the potions of healing. Maybe Killian takes the greater healing because he's the only one without the ability to heal himself.
Yeah, he's the only not off healer we have.
Yeah, that's true. I'll take that. So a potion of healing and the greater healing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I have spells and lay on hands, so.
I have key points for days. And also still have a potion of healing from before, so I'm going to suggest Lustre takes mine.
Okay. Okay. Potion of heroism goes to...
That one, by the way, you gain 10 temporary hit points that last for an hour, and you get the effects of the Bless spell as well.
It's huge.
That's what that one gives you.
I feel like we should probably give that one to Tess, because you're in melee, and you're not as tanky.
Fair, yeah. And I mean, as far as if Troubadour needs it, if anyone's going to be able to reach the other, it's going to be the two of us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take the heroism.
Okay. So I have 2 healing potions, greater to Killian, heroism to Tess, vitality in the bag of holding.
Times 2, right? 2 vitality?
2 vitality is correct.
Perfect.
You see Amelia Wigglebrick is just beaming with pride, too, as this care package gets handed over. She...
How many of the potions are orange?
They all... Like the piece of hemp rope around the top of the bottle, like around the little neck of the bottle, she's tied a little miniature like paper carrot and threaded it into each bottle.
I love her so much.
A lot of carrot stickers on the glass too.
It's a carrot package.
It's like, wow. It's totally what she screams out loud the moment you guys come down the stairs.
It's a carrot package.
Even screams it a little too early. Shit, wait. Does it again.
She's just beaming, though, and smiling from ear to ear. And she says, you know, someday I'd definitely like to go to Rivalis back in Darkon, help my nephew Tomlin out with the Underjack Cheese business. But I understand there's a lot going on.
Guys, can we take her? She doesn't have to stay.
Once we fix that Rivalis is a place, then there will be a Rivalis to go back to. We have to come back here to drop off paperwork and pick up his bit. I mean, Miss Beautiful Pretty Lady.
Jesus.
And I meant it in the nice way, like, what's up, bitch? And then
David is does not look pleased across the table right now.
Well, hey, I was swearing in front of her, and he's allowed to, you know, get away with one. So
as soon as we drop off schematics, we got freedom time, so we could take her back easily, assuming there is a Rivalis to go back to.
Yeah, she looks back at Troubadour. She's like, it's okay, I understand. Did you get my carrot package joke?
Absolutely, I did. It's great.
Yeah.
I like how all the stoppers are green, so it's like the thing on the top of the carrot.
Oh, you noticed.
I did.
No jump high five.
No jump high five.
Yeah!
Oh. Can we just have, like, this episode just be Troubadour and Amelia just, like, vibing for an hour? I just want all of this all the time.
That's so adorable. Okay.
What if we hide her in my backpack? You guys don't have to know. We can just bring her along. No?
Probably damn it. Fit in our pocket. Like, my God.
You can also see across the street, Faron is, like, patiently waiting outside with a big backpack across his shoulders, and the only real goodbye left is Rena. You just like sense like she hasn't said much this morning, still staying super close to Lustra.
We'll go wait outside, and Troubadour will give them the space they need.
Yep.
I'm going to stand directly between them.
It's going to be so sad for you guys. You should kiss slowly.
I had a partner once. His name was Simon.
Wow.
Oh, did you want me to tell you about him? I could. Just right now. No? All right, fine. Whatever. I'm going to go back to the roof.
Sulk like a teenager.
Jump off it.
The room clears out. And Lucer and Rena are given a moment to say their goodbyes.
Well, while I don't know what to say to give it justice, Lucer will absolutely hand Rena a sending stone and be like, look, I'm going away. I will be back. But that doesn't mean we can't talk and keep in contact. This is a sending stone. There is like a 1 in 10 chance it might not work because I'm hopping to, you know, a different domain. So if it doesn't work, don't freak out. You can only use it once a day, though. 25 words is the most. So at least we can kind of keep in contact.
That's so cool.
We'll test it out right now to see if it works.
Is that how it works across planes?
Yeah,
that's really neat.
Yeah, I believe there's a 1 in 10 chance that it just doesn't work. Sending stones, then curved.
It goes to there's a 5% chance. You can send messages across any distance and even to other planes of existence, but if the target is on a different plane than you, there's a 5% chance that the message one doesn't arrive.
Oh, the same odds as a natty one.
Yeah.
Don't fumble that sending stone, bitch.
That's half as bad as you thought before, so even better.
So there's a 1 in 20 chance that it won't work.
The spell enables creatures within intelligence scores of at least one to understand in the meaning of your message. She's got at least intelligence one, right? I haven't seen her character sheet.
You know what? That's true.
She's dating Lustra. It must be a 20.
You had us in the first half, not going to lie.
So, you know, while I hand the sending stone and tap the rapier, my old rapier that is hopefully on her hip, be like, this is only just for however long this takes. I am going to try everything in my ability to come back and get you guys. Like, and this is not goodbye. This is just for now. This is just like a see you later thing. Lustra kind of, you know, shaking a bit. I really don't want to go, but I'm not good with words. Like, you saw me before I was at the port. Like, I was a cretin. Like, you taught me how to talk to people, kind of. Like, you get it, okay? Just
she bails you out with a warm embrace and just says, I'll see you later. And you can tell there was a lot of hope that came to her face once you gave her that sending stone. It was like the last thing she was expecting was to be able to essentially call you every day.
Mm-hmm.
So that brings a lot of happiness into an otherwise horrible situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I like to think that your last few moments together are just spent quietly embracing each other, and eventually both of you walk out into the streets of Mordenshire, where the rest of the party is waiting. Rena comes around to each of you and gives you her thanks and her good luck, as well as Amelia and the Foxgrove twins. Ferran is anxiously waiting.
When Rena like makes her rounds, Tess is just going to like quietly catch her by the wrist and pull her in, sort of just make eye contact and speak relatively quietly so as to not yell in the streets. But she'll just say, I promise we will return him. You probably know better than I how stubborn he can be. But if only one of us makes it back here, it will be him.
She kind of fights back a few tears and just says, thank you. Just make sure he doesn't trade his life for anything.
I would never allow it.
All right, I guess we gotta go. And so are we gonna just go by foot, take the horse and carriage?
All aboard!
I'm gonna suggest we leave the horse and carriage here. It belonged to Van Richten after all, and you've told me your stories of the folding boat that doesn't exist anymore. That on the off chance we come to something in the mists where we have to swim across, I'd rather have these folks be able to use this than us be shit out of luck.
Fair. Although, if we leave it behind, object permanence in these mists doesn't seem to exist, so it's probably just going to disappear. Let's be honest.
Well, I think it's nice of us to leave the cart here. You know, they were kind enough to give us a carrot package. I feel like it's, you know, fair that we leave something for them.
Yeah, if they can get a horse, they can take it about town, and hopefully it'll keep them safe, especially orcs start raining arrows on them. I'd rather they have that to protect them.
Fair. I mean, honestly, no offense to Nathan, but, I mean, I think most of us can outrun him, or at least keep up, so.
Only you can keep up.
Heh. You're right. Thank you for saying it.
Exactly the same speed.
Yay.
So the Van Richten's old cart is staying here, the old carriage.
Mm-hmm.
We had a good run. 2 days.
It's pretty good for you folks.
Honestly.
Did pretty good.
Yep.
No, we could have taken it back to Darkon, and I finally could have picked up all my chests from Odo Hubs.
We're still coming back.
Okay. I just don't let us forget.
Okay.
All right.
Let's get going.
Okay.
And so the party with Nathan Fillion and Ferran Zalhonen and his little familiar, his little pet raven Skeever on his shoulder. We all start walking away through the streets of Mordenshire. You see like the image of Rena and Emilia and everyone else start to grow smaller, and eventually those streets are replaced by that moorland again, just patches of heather and occasional patches of kind of boggy, wet soil.
So we're going to try and head to Darkon or Nevachar Springs?
Nevachar Springs, easy in Darkon.
Okay, so yeah, we might as well hit Nevachar Springs specifically then, once we get into the mists.
Yeah, I think that makes the most sense. After all, that's where Ferran wishes to go as well. And he has a wealth of knowledge of the area, so I feel like this might be the best bet.
Huh, I'm sort of surprised that you didn't ask him, but Ferran, while we're walking and talking, do you know anyone with the same last name as our intrepid friend over here?
Astorius.
Heard any tales from the passers-by? Any written down in a book?
Specifically, a Raymond Astorius, specifically.
He shakes his head no. No, unfortunately not. I believe you said he was a grave digger, yes?
Yeah, he was tending the graves, indeed. Fell in with some ne'er-do-wells. Paid the bills, at least. But yeah, he... I don't know what happened to him. I'm still searching. It's part of the reasons I came into the mists at all. Just seems like I ran into the wrong crowd right away. Normally, they come visit me at the graveyard. I don't go to them kind of thing. But here we are.
As well, I do hope that you find the answers you are seeking in your journeys, Killian Astorius.
Yeah. Me too, me too. And he sort of, you know, his shoulders slump a little bit and he grimaces. And then he sort of picks himself back up. Right, so I've only ever done the mist by myself. I feel like it's probably going to be different with a mist traveler. So how does this work again?
We walk into the mists, probably deal with some horrific creatures. Eventually some paths will come in front of us. And we'll need to vote as to which way we're going. We all need to focus on the same destination.
For once. Who said that?
What? We always have.
Yeah, that's kind of been hard. I'm not going to lie, I've been making it kind of harder than it should. But now we're, I think, more unified than ever. So, just focus on the destination once the doors start opening up. But until then... stick close together. You're going to hear a lot of voices, and they're not going to be nice. And just keep an eye out for winged creatures that'll come and swipe at you from any direction.
Lovely, lovely.
Don't snuggle them, unless you want.
There's a story there. All right, I guess we're going to the Nevachar Springs then.
So the party keeps traveling. There's still, you know, a couple hours of travel. Before we get to the wall of mists that are bordering this domain of dread. Along the way, Ferran, you know, makes more small talk with the party, tries to get to know you folks a little bit better. He seems particularly curious about Troubadour's dampier nature. If you don't mind, I am very curious to hear of your... abilities. I haven't managed to accumulate many notes on dampiers. Is that what you prefer to be called?
Oh,
I identify as amazing.
I prefer to be called Troubadour.
I assume that's effectively what they've made me. I don't recall the process, aside from a couple of moments that I'm glad I've blacked out in. But the Dark Tower in Martira Bay was known for making Dompierce for the Cargatane, so I assume something along those lines is why I'm here like this. This is personal and uncomfortable. What do you want to know?
He really just wants to know, you know, like he hasn't encountered many Dompierce. It's he's certainly heard of it, and so honestly, there's just a bit of a back and forth if Troubadour allows it of like, you know, so what exactly can you do with your teeth? And so you can drain energy? And he's, you know, taking notes along the way.
I will give him the whole racial background if he would like to know.
That's essentially what he's looking for. He wants your character traits.
This won't bite me in the ass at all.
All right.
What are your character traits?
And your reflex saving throw modifier is just wondering.
I need to upcast this how much to kill you?
I leave out the fact I don't have to breathe.
Oh, fair.
I don't skirt around it, but I make sure I'm talking enough exciting about everything else.
Right. Hoping he doesn't bring it up kind of thing.
Yeah, especially the spider climb. Doesn't. As soon as we like hit trees or anything, it's like, look what I can do! This is my favorite! Hooray! Do you want me to show you how the bite works?
Does it hurt?
Ask Lustra.
Does it hurt?
A little bit, yeah. And apparently my blood gives him the strength of 10 men.
He doesn't taste as good as plants now. I don't know what's going on.
Vegan Dompierce.
He does seem very interested in the thought of allowing that. It's, maybe thinks better of it and says, perhaps the next time we settle down for a moment, if we could be jumped by orcs here at any moment.
Yeah. We'll save it for when we need it. Gotcha. Cloaker Blood, so far, my favorite. That's the...
Writes
the addendum.
Cloaker Blood. He is also very apologetic to Lustra. Says, I'm very sorry that your journey to Mordent did not end quite as you were hoping, I'm sure.
Well, to be frank, all of our travels up until now have just been wrought with conflict, fighting, death. So to actually come in, talk to a Dark Lord, find Rena, find the things that are important to us, not have anyone die, not even have to really get into a lot of actual physical conflict, I'm kind of taking the wins where I can, or so Rena tells me. and what Rena thinks, I think in this regard. I came out without having to, you know, fight and basically got something for nothing. And that's good news. So you may feel sorry, but I certainly don't. I just feel very grateful that I have travel companions who are willing to throw life and limb and be at my defense at a moment's notice. Even if you only looked at Killian, known me for a couple of days, or looks over to Troubadour and has known me for a week. So... and looks to Tess and like, I've known these people for such a short time, and yet we've done things that normally people would trust. That kind of trust you don't just get, you know, that quick, and I've somehow managed to come across it. So it's...
He kind of nods, a bit of curiosity and interest in his face, and says, I hope that soon we will have the opportunity for me to add the name Ferrand to your list of trusted friends.
Well, if there's one thing that our motley crew proves, we are quick to warm to people, but also very quick to end people if they mess with us.
He kind of gives you this coy smile and says, I much prefer warmth. And with that kind of like triggers a bit of a... fire spell in his hand.
God damn it. He's so cool. Stop seducing Colin, Justin. Tess is fine. Tess is going to like look for something to kill. Just like, is there anything on the road waiting to eat us? Like active perception.
While having the conversation, I'm sure at some point Killian would have mentioned hearing the word Cargatane and Cargat come up. Killian sheepishly scratches the back of his head. Yeah, about that. I've dealt quite regularly with the Cargatane and the Cargat in my own experiences. In fact, I tried to enroll myself in such a field.
Bonesaw is half drawn.
I was kicked out.
Bonesaw gets sheathed.
But not for the reasons you might think. Bonesaw comes halfway. You see, I saw all the crime, all the things happening, and as a way to advance my own investigatory business, I thought it useful to get, you know, a hand on their records or among other things. Although ambition isn't really well looked upon in that business, it's more of a do what I say, not a think for yourself kind of thing. So they kind of kicked me to the curb. Doesn't mean that I didn't pick up a few tricks along the way. Not that I think we'll necessarily run into the Cargat or Cargatane, but I've got a few tricks up my sleeve in that respect.
I mean, we will if we're lucky. Bonesaw 3/4 of the way out. I have so many scores to settle with them.
That being said, Furon, maybe would you know anything about the Rex Crown?
He nods and says, yes, I've heard the names Cargat, Cargatane, Rex Crown. From what I understand, all one in the same. All Azalin Rex's henchmen, if you will. And kind of explains that, you know, to his understanding, and I guess to refresh us, it's been such a long time since we've gone to Darkon, assuming that's where we're going. Who knows what happens when you guys vote.
Fucking better, you guys.
But I kind of like to think of, like, Cargat, Cargatane, Rex Crown. Think almost like Empire troops in Star Wars, right? Like, yeah. There's...
Like military branches.
Yeah,
they're all
exactly.
Like, same umbrella.
There's the stormtroopers, but then there's also those Imperial guards in, like, cool red suits that stand next to the Emperor.
Yeah.
It's... But it's all the same shit. Mm.
They all want to do the same bad stuff, just, yeah. Like, in different bite-sized morsels.
And, you know, the thing that you guys learned about the Rex Crown specifically was that, you know, that kind of branch of the military, I suppose, has been assigned with eliminating all the cool bloodlines that might get in the way.
Eliminate the cool kids.
Specifically the Shadowborn for them, but, you know, I'm sure if once they're done there, they'll move on to another one, I'm sure. But yeah, so he has heard about those organizations. I've heard many tales of those who have passed through Mordant.
Well, there is a chance we might run into some, because Tess and I have definitely had a couple of run-ins with them. So keep that, you know, be prepared for something like that, because we're not exactly, you know, in tight with them, I guess. We're kind of... I don't know. I almost feel like we're wanted, but I suppose now that Van Richten isn't with us, maybe they'll let off on us.
Honestly, Lustra, if we see Rex Crown, I'm not giving them the chance to decide they don't want to deal with us.
Mm.
Let's be honest.
And in my experience, typically speaking, when it comes to high-value targets like ourselves, it's shoot on sight. It's not a, hey, I'm going to try and capture you, all these other things. No, we, or I should say especially you, are entirely too dangerous being able to travel mists. You're very much a shoot-on-sight kind of character.
Lucifer rolls his eyes. Great. Okay.
You're the main character. Come on.
You even have your own theme music. It's kind of great. At least every time you take a shot, like a fancy song plays in my head. It's pretty cool. Anyway, edit that out.
Benny Hill?
Yes.
And then just like that, you guys find yourselves not far at all from the wall of mist that is the border of Mordant. You're all standing, you know, maybe a dozen feet or so away from the wall. Faron is looking up at it with a lot of hesitation, and he says, this is it then, is it? I must say I have ventured out to these parts before and found this wall of mist terrifying then. But to stand before it, knowing that my intention is to cross into them, it is much more terrifying. Is there anything we should know? Am I supposed to hold my breath or anything like that?
Stay close. It sort of keeps a pocket around you. You wander too far, you won't be able to see us. And then you're going on your own, baby!
And your mind may play tricks on you. You will hear a lot of whispers that are dissonant. and other voices that may not belong to you. It's just the mists doing their thing. So the closer we stick together, the easier it is to keep those at bay.
Tess will put a hand on his back and say, we will go in. We will move forward. We will think, just hold your destination in your mind. Don't stop. Sort of hearkening back to the first instruction we ever got from Erasmus.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll say, we are here to protect you. We are here to protect each other. As long as we can trust each other, we will be fine. We have made it through before. We will make it through again. Deep breaths.
Never char springs.
Never char springs.
Never char springs. Never char springs.
Very well, then. And Faron makes like a quick gesture to dismiss Skeever just as a precaution. Time to begin the second chapter of my book. And follows all of you through the mists. Thoughts of Mordant disappear. All the sounds, all the smells are gone and replaced with that black void that is filled with swirling gray mist. Immediately, you know, you walk in, look back, and Mordant's just gone. You're already in that strange, almost bubble of mist that moves along with you. They open in front of you and part behind you as you walk through them. Do we do anything in particular?
Killian will look over to Lustra. You remember the mist talisman for where we're going, yeah?
Yes, I do. Have it on me at all times.
Right. Just, sorry, I'm a little nervous too. Yeah. And he'll sort of look expectantly to the rest of the group.
Like Tess said, we just got to keep moving, keep our, you know, thoughts on the springs.
Yeah, the longer we stop, the more the voices will reach out to us. So keep walking, keep your thoughts steady, don't lose sight of each other, don't let your mind wander, or else you might end up lost. Like some Vistani that we knew. I wonder how Madame Lysenia and Rafa are doing. Ooh, is there something shiny over there? Shit, focus. Right. Okay.
Lustro will instinctively take point in the marching order.
Tess will bring up the rear.
Killian will be just in front of Tess.
Troubadour will be beside Tess. That way, if anything really comes at us from the back. And the horse will be beside. It's Fillion and Killian.
Hey.
And where would you guys like for Ron?
On the horse.
He can ride the horse if he wants.
Yeah?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, he hired us with not paying us. Shit. So, you know, we're technically his guides.
Mm-hmm.
If he hasn't given it to you already, he did absolutely have the intentions of giving you guys a big bag of gold for all this. You know, bonus points to you for doing it without being handed the big bag of gold. But yeah, we can kind of rewind a second to outside of the mists. And he's like, just in case something should happen in there, I would hate for you to have an ill impression of me. And he tosses you a pretty hefty bag. There's 2,000 gold.
Shoo-ha!
That is more than I think that we've ever had.
Is that bag going in? Nope, not quite. But it's almost just as much. Is that bag going in the bag of holding?
I would presume so. Yeah.
Bag in a bag, baby. Little hand comes out, catches it.
But back to the mists. You all keep traveling in that order, and the voices are, they're bad. The mists this time around seem almost more chaotic. Like, you remember voices, you remember seeing shadows darting just on the border of the mist bubble you're in. But there's dozens of those shadows now. It looks much more chaotic beyond your bubble. The voices are almost deafening at points.
Time is running out.
It gives you a very concerned feeling. And then you hear the voices start to quiet down or maybe get overpowered by a different sound. At first, it's just like a thud that you can hear off in the distance. But the thudding gets louder and closer. It sounds like footsteps that suddenly break into a run. And then maybe about 60 feet in front of you, the mists just burst open to reveal this huge hulking creature. It is made entirely of mist and sinew. Think like Juggernaut from X-Men.
Oh, God.
But the body is just muscle and mist.
Oh, no.
This creature is wearing like a massive metallic helmet.
All right, focus up.
And it just bursts into your field of vision and just says, I'm going to rip you in half.
Oh, no.
And we're all going to roll initiative.
Oh, man.
Against the D&D version of a juggernaut.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Lustra's in front. Oh, no.
I'll be fine.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy. Oh, this is going to be fun.
Oh, no.
This thing is no fucking joke.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Oh, 20 or above from anyone?
24.
Damn.
Oh, boy.
Tess has been ready for violence for like the past 3 episodes.
Trying to show off for Ferran.
Listen, it's a happy coincidence.
15 or higher?
Yeah. What's my name again? Killian. Killian got a 19.
I think it's Nathan Fillion. Is that? No?
Yeah.
Well, he also got a 16 because he's on my initiative, which is a 16.
Very nice. Lustra?
13.
Ferran, I think it must just be the shock. Like, he's just so overwhelmed by this experience that unfortunately he comes in at a 4 on the initiative.
Woof.
Been there, buddy. Been there.
Tess.
Yeah?
It is time to fight this massive Miss Juggernaut. A relentless juggernaut.
Oh, good.
It is massive. category is large, but massive is a funner word.
It's using up all of that large space. Like every foot of that 10-foot square is just biceps.
It's all muscle and big domed metal helmet. And this juggernaut is just running full speed towards all of you. You are the first to react in this battle, though. What do you do? What do you do, Tess?
Oh, Tess is going to yell, "Scatter!" But she is going to plant her feet and bolt just as fast right towards this thing. As I'm running for it, can I get a gauge of like this big metal helmet? Is it like, does it look like it's protecting something? Are there like latches, anything like that? Or is it just like, is it just flexing it to keep it on? It's overdeveloped shoulder muscles.
Let me make this token bigger so you guys get a better look at this thing. It doesn't look like it's bolted in or anything like that.
Holy shit.
It's just a really big helmet. Steel helm.
Low charisma score. Got it. Okay. Well, in that case, you said 60 feet away?
It is exactly 60 feet separating you and my relentless juggernaut.
Well, ready or juggernaut, here I come. And I'm going to blast forward. Bonesaw comes 100% out. And I am going to, like sort of baseball slide around it and try to take out the tendons behind its knee. You can't have muscles everywhere, buddy.
You're going to close the gap.
Oh, yeah.
Just take off all by yourself straight into Juggernaut. I love it.
It's what we've been waiting for. Honestly, it's what I've been waiting for. Let's go. Not the best. 16 to hit.
That is a miss.
Okay. That's fine. That's fine. We rolled low. Gonna try again, though. Second time, just try to catch a tendon. 21?
21 will do it.
Okay, that's something. And take a wild guess how many key points I'm spending. Many. But for right now, 15 magic slashing on that inner knee, and roll me a con save for Sunning Strike.
The giant muscle creature with a con save.
Hey, there's a one on the die, man.
There is.
DC 14.
22.
It's close, you know. Tess will, like, sort of just spit on the ground and be like, shit. Well, should have seen that coming, really. And she is going to spend another key point for Step of the Wind. And she is going to sort of down into an angle, get another 60 feet away from this juggernaut, but sort of like a 45-degree angle to the southwest. So she's like equidistant between the juggernaut and the rest of the party. So if it comes after me, then it's still within Troubadour's range. If it goes after them, I can still show up and be a badass.
Oh, man. What a great start, Tess. You run in there, do 15 points of damage, run right back out. As you're running away, though, you can see this massive mist creature just kind of flex its arms, say, "I'm the juggernaut!" You watch as the wound you inflicted closes right back up.
Stop that!
And this thing just starts booking it.
No, thank you.
He moves 30 feet forward, which isn't enough to close the gap to any of you. But then this juggernaut kind of like stands there and holds one hand up in the air and closes it to make a fist. And all these mists start to kind of coalesce around his fist until he's basically made this giant magical...
Oh, no.
Mist rock.
Oh, you God. Are a big buff boy. You're not allowed to be magic.
He is going to send it flying towards Tess.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Let's go. Let's go. Come at me. You ain't got shit. You ain't got shit.
Tess, I need a dexterity saving throw as basically a boulder made out of mist comes flying towards you.
Oh, that's fine. We're fine. We're good. 19.
The mist boulder just lands inches away from your feet. Explodes and shatters into dozens of chunks, all of which miss Tess.
I go full Neo Matrix 1.
Absolutely.
You ain't got shit, Juggernaut! I'm Tessantius, bitch! I think he likes me, you guys.
Charging towards everyone, really, at this point, he runs to a point where now I think he's about 30 feet away from just about everybody, give or take a couple feet. That is all that the Juggernaut can do, though. Regenerates the damage it took. All 15 points, looks like, closed right up.
Oof.
Troubadour. Oh, no. Killian.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Killian, seeing Tess run like a bat out of hell, realizing for the first time the full breadth of her speed, just goes, holy shit. He sort of collects himself, grabs his short bow, and darts to the south of the group, sort of like equidistant between Tess and the group, making sure he's at least 40 feet away from the juggernaut.
40 feet, okay.
And he's just going to knock an arrow, and he's just going to take a deep breath and loose an arrow to see if he hits this thing.
Oh, no!
Holy shit. So that's an 8 to hit. I rolled a 2. Fuck. Okay, listen. Somebody else who listens out there, Marshall, these dice are fucking cursed.
It was right beside a 20, though. It was
looking at me. Yeah. Either way, he's going to go down that distance. He's going to loose an arrow. And I just imagine that he took a deep breath, and maybe he was a little too close to Lustra, and it just flies over the top.
Hey!
Show me how it's done on your turn.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I'll miss 2 arrows.
That's Killian's excuse, is that the Lustra rubbed off on you?
Yeah, that's his excuse, and he's sticking to it. How far can I throw the Dodecahedron of Doom, by the way?
60 feet, I think.
Okay. Good to know. Not this turn, but good to know. That's all I can really do, rogue doing rogue things. I can't really do anything until people getting close. And he'll look over at Troubadour, who I'm sure is just chomping at the bit to, you know, get some of this laughing gas.
Ooh.
Troubadour.
Troubadour's not paying attention to you. He's looking at Ferran and going, oh, you're tall up there on that horse. hey, how much range do you need for all your fire shit?
I'm pretty sure he's going to answer like 60 feet, but let me double check.
As far away from that thing as possible. I'll figure it out.
Sorry, somebody's always trying to find their range.
60 would be ideal.
Then there's whistle, some stuff in Celestial that I don't know who else understands. And then Troubadour's, oh, right, I'm the tank. I got to get in there. Tromp, 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 tromp. Somehow 40 feet and just that pace. Tromp, tromp, tromp. Hot stuff. Business as usual. Yeah, you're the juggernaut. You're so tall. Oh, so strong. And he's going to swing at him. That's a... What are my pluses? I think that's a miss. That's a 16 or... Plus 8, yeah. 16, which I believe is a miss.
16 is indeed a miss.
Let's see if this is better. That's one worse. 15. Here I am.
Uh-oh.
Hit me instead.
It's the looser episode. We're all whiffing.
Uh-oh. So the horse stayed back?
Horse is going to move Faron to 60 feet away.
Okay.
And has all of that movement, so horse will take the dodge action in case things get thrown at him.
Lustra Venari. Killian's talking mad shit.
Sorry.
Lustra's gonna run north about 30 feet from his position to maintain distance away from the juggernaut.
Oh, everyone's spreading out. I like it.
As he's running up the 30 feet north, he's going to mutter some words, and then the rosary glows, and that symbol is imprinted onto the juggernaut, and I'm casting Hunter's Mark.
Yeah!
For my bonus action.
Good move.
And then I'm going to take a regular old shot.
My God.
Hey, look, if a 16, you know, doesn't hit, I ain't landing with a sharpshooter.
That post-missed clarity.
I hit last night so that I wouldn't miss here.
That's what Rena tells you, buddy.
What?
Give me the fumble table.
Yeah! Oh. You show me how it's done. You show me how it's done.
This is really not the time, Lustra Venari.
Come on.
Oh, no, it's not. It really isn't. All right.
Oh, no.
Don't let the floor defeat you.
Yay!
One of your shoes gets incredibly stuck in a section of ground you're standing on for the remainder of this combat. As long as you're wearing that article of clothing, your speed is reduced to zero.
Lustra!
Your shoe is stuck.
Your freshly polished arena boot.
All you gotta do is take it off and throw it to the mists and you'll be fine.
Oh my God, that took the wind out of my sails real quick. Holy. Okay.
Oh,
or
no.
You just stay there for the rest of this combat.
Well, I still have another shot.
Okay. Are you sure? Oh. You sure you want to take this?
Hey, I moved. I got some distance. We'll be fine. Let's take another shot. Regular. Like, come on. I can roll something other than a single digit, right? I need to get
what?
The fumble table again.
What are you doing?
A double fumble?
A double fumble.
Dude, use your inspiration, man. You have so many one-liners.
Too late now.
Oh, no.
Be the other one. Be the other boot.
Please be the other shoe. Yeah. Yeah.
He just plants his feet real hard. I have found my range.
That wasn't an arrow. In the confusion of battle, you accidentally grab a random item from your inventory determined by DM and fire it off into the distance.
His other shoe.
Would you like me to pass Justin your character sheet so you don't have to stand up?
Oh, it's so funny when it's not you.
There's some items on this one as well.
There we go, buddy.
Oh, thank you.
Just all of our missed talismans on your rosary.
Oh, fuck.
You really showed Killian.
Oh, we're gonna die. Oh, dude, you have the amulet. You could have rolled a 10.
Yeah, I guess
too late now.
Yeah, too late now.
A lot of things could have happened, Colin.
In fact, that amulet comes off into the mist. Right. Never again.
Did it say magic item? Did it?
No, a random item.
Just a random item.
Yep.
A random item, I think, as chose. So that's not very random.
Could be a copper piece. Could be somehow you shoot the bow that you were trying to shoot with.
How are you going to determine it randomly?
With the power of dice.
All right, this percentile. 1 through 99, it's your missed talisman. 100, it's your other boot.
I want that so bad.
All right, I have two items in my mind based on that glance at Lucifer's character sheet. Even it's one of them, odds it's the other.
The badass Trilby goes sailing off into the distance.
All right, so you get to keep Van Richten's glasses. Those you get to keep. For whatever reason, in the heat of battle, in the confusion of this moment, Lustra reaches back. I didn't even realize you had this, but all of you watch as a loot just goes flying through the air. and lands like with a very loud crash with all the strings. It's like, you know, when someone breaks a guitar. A lute. You reach back, your lute is gone. The whole thing.
Lustra, the soul of a poet.
Who knew you had a lute on you?
It was like one of those starting equipment things.
Absolutely.
You were just losing everything you started with. Your axe, your femur, your...
Yeah.
Everything.
I figured it was a good balance. It was like, well, yeah. Odds it's this thing that no one even knew you had, and even it's... Vanrichten's glasses.
We'll never like see Vanrichten
again. You know,
again.
A missed talisman to a domain is an integral part of the story, arguably, yeah.
Fumble's gonna fumble.
Well, yeah. Hey.
Not my problem.
At least I got Hunter's Mark on him.
Yeah, good job.
You know exactly where he is.
So,
it's arguably more embarrassing that way. There's like a huge target on him right now.
Yep.
And you shoot an arrow at the mist next to his feet and then fire a lute off into the distance.
I look like a red dragon born from the embarrassment and frustration.
Oh, man.
And that is my turn. Fuck.
Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness. Meanwhile, Franz Alhonen, sitting confidently upon Nathan Fillion, 60 feet back, starts waving his hands around in the air and summoning a little bit of fire in between his palms and sends that fire careening towards the juggernaut. Oh, that's a solid hit from Ferran.
You said you guys were experts, right?
So far, two arrows and a lute.
Yikes.
We had some downtime. We need to get the shake the rust off. It's fine.
Tess had gone in, swung. He just immediately healed it.
We're good at this.
Troubadour had missed twice. Like, I'm sure Ferran's like, oh, God.
It is a solid hit. He aims right for that Clanosium symbol, and it smashes into this relentless juggernaut. The juggernaut takes 23 points of fire damage.
Jeez.
From Ferran.
Wow. Holy shit.
Okay.
And we're back to the top. We're back to Tess.
Oh. All right.
Tess is going to like look at the smoldering crevice in his chest and just be like, oh.
All right, okay, that's cool, I guess. I'm not impressed, whatever. I could do that if I wanted, but I prefer this. And so she is going to... looks like I'm about, 45 feet away from that guy? I'm going to dash up, sort of step in to Troubadour's right, just be like, don't worry, we got this. And is going to sort of, like, run up its knee, plant her feet, try to, like, jam the bone saw into its neck, and then, like, use the rest of her movement to, like, pull off and, like, drag it down for the first attack. Oof.
Holy shit.
We are rolling like Garbo. 12 to hit? No? No? Alright, moving on. We just need to find my range.
Natural 20.
Oh, buddy.
Your range is bonesaw.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. Cool. I don't have any fancy nonsense to add to this, but still 2d8 plus 7 for 16 magic slashing.
There you go.
Yeah, it's something. It's so tough, but we are so bad at hitting it. Another key point, stunning strike.
Con save.
Just roll low. We've been doing it.
Not a great roll. Where's my modifier? 16.
It's fine. It's fine. Didn't expect it anyway. Flurry of blows. That's A-O good. 25 to hit.
Oh, there you go.
For 5 magic bludgeoning and a third, hopefully solid strike. 21 to hit. 4, 7. So not the best, but
every little bit counts.
7 and what?
7 and 5.
Oh, very nice.
She'd just be like grunting and mumbling, regenerate all of this, you piece of shit. And she will use the last 15 feet of her movement to sort of backflip back off of him and get some distance 15 feet away. End my turn there.
Doing some pretty solid damage to the juggernaut.
Yeah. It ain't shit. We're the best. It sucks. Yeah. Pay no attention to the rolls last turn.
As soon as your turn is over, the juggernaut takes legendary action.
No!
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 Before it takes its full turn and starts trying to pummel Troubadour into the misty ground, it raises a fist again, and another massive boulder gets created and flung towards Tess.
Oh, good.
Dex save, Tess.
Dex save for Tess. This is fine. 20 on the dot.
Oh.
Oh. How many times are we going to have to keep teaching this you this lesson, old man? You can't hit me for shit. Keep trying, though.
He won't. He is not going to. Instead, what he's going to do, he's going to try to punch Troubadour with some very, very meaty hands.
Rafa?
The first punch is maybe just aims a little too high. Not used to your stature quite yet, Troubadour. It's a 14, which is a big old miss.
Mm-hmm.
The second one hits for a 24.
Yeah, that'll do it.
24 is going to do it. I need you to give me a strength saving throw.
Ooh,
okay.
To remain on your feet.
Oh.
Man, this is some proper David versus Goliath shit.
That was a natural one.
Oh, no.
For an 8, though.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I assume I, yeah, ducked the first one. Ha ha ha! Just right to the ground. Planted like a carrot.
Troubadour takes 15 points of bludgeoning damage and is knocked prone. Juggernaut, for right now, is not going to move, going to kind of stay in the middle of it and try to beat Troubadour into a bloody pulp. Which means, Killian, you're up next.
Killian, seeing Lustra miss once with an arrow and then for some reason fire a lute, he sort of shakes his head in oddity and again rolls his shoulders, breathes, and looks to take a shot when the juggernaut's really focused on Troubadour there. Catch him off guard. That is going to be 15. Which I know doesn't hit. Damn it.
It does not.
Also,
I forgot to mention it, but on his turn, like the juggernaut did heal. Some of the damage you guys did healed it back up. Fair. Not all of it this time, though.
Thank goodness for that.
Definitely some wounds left.
Yep, I definitely imagine that the arrow sort of like plinks off of his head and doesn't do any damage. And Killian's just like, son of a bitch. And once again, he sort of, you know, gets back up, knocks another arrow, getting ready, and will pass the turn.
Man, Killian can just not catch a break. Just can't catch a break.
I know, I can't. I promise I can do things.
How many, like, in your, like, twice? You've hit twice?
I've hit twice,
oh
yes.
Oh my god. We need to keep a tally. Like, at this point,
this is terrible. Like, this is why Slash with Saber suck. Like, apparently I just suck at rolling.
Troubadour You are knocked prone right at the feet of this juggernaut. What would you like to do?
I imagine Troubadour gets just, yeah, that's it, knocked completely flat. Just is there for a second, and then he pulls a full Undertaker, and then just immediately sits up. And he's like, oh, we have to try. Oh, it's time to play. So he's going to get up, dust himself off very gently. That's 20 feet of my movement. I'm going to take the other 20 just moving underneath him because he's big enough that I can do that as a small creature. And because of my ring, I have, I'm not slowed down by his size for difficult terrain.
Hell yeah.
So I just sort of like zip to the side where nobody else is. Bonus action. Divine channel divinity, my oath. He is now my vow of enmity. So it's advantage time on this guy.
Yay.
Oh boy.
Two ones.
Not much better. 18?
Ooh.
18 is a hit.
Hey! Sorry, 17.
Oh. Oh.
17. Is the magic number.
Oh, still a hit?
Still okay. A hit. Okay.
Still kind of garbage. 11 slashing, 5 fire. We're going to do it again. There we go. That's a 22.
To hit?
22 to hit. And we'll see. Nobody's hit him with radiant yet. So I'll pump in a first level divine smite. And... maths. 9 slashing, 5 fire, 8 radiant unless he's undead or a fiend.
It is considered a fiend.
Ooh.
That's an extra 8, so 16 radiant.
16 radiant?
16 radiant, 5 fire, and 9 slashing for that last one.
Very nice attack from Troubadour.
Hell yeah.
Oh, well... running all over the place underneath this giant creature's just legs.
Trying to take out his Achilles.
Just love running that. Through his legs with the sword held above your head.
I'll get both of those balls! And I'll end my turn right there.
Lustra, you're still stuck. You can hear like the sole of the shoe starting to rip a little bit because you're like straining not to to move too much, you know? What do you do?
Yeah, I'm like 45 feet away.
Oh, that's not your range.
No, it isn't. I can't use my force damage from this distance.
Unless
I spend more resources so I don't give up the shoe.
Go on.
Oh, wait, no, that takes my bonus action anyways. Fuck. God damn it, I never thought I would be it would be this hard to leave my shoe behind.
We all knew.
Yeah, really.
I can see how torn you are to make this decision. You know what? Take a week to think about it. Because this fight is far from over. The juggernaut is not done. Nowhere near it.
Hell yeah. Man. Lustra's Sophie's choice.
Sophie's choice.